You can be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I've called this the forgotten chapter in the Bible. And most churches ignore it. Most people ignore its message as well today. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, before I read the scripture tonight and pray, you have to understand, as we read it, I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying, nobody ought to leave here tonight mad at me because of what we're covering tonight. All right? It's in the Bible. This is what God says, the way God says it's supposed to be. And that ought to make it important to us. The fact that it's not practiced today is a blight upon the church of Jesus Christ. Because this is still God's eternal word. And remember, he wrote these things so we would know how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. So, we got it clear. No one can leave here mad at me tonight, correct? All right? Nobody. And if for anybody to go out here, what do you mean by that? Don't go out of there like that. We're just going to cover what he says, and what he says is what he meant. I believe that about the whole Bible. Amen? Amen? Yeah. All right, so we're clear. Anybody have a question? Raise your hand now, or forever hold your peace. All right. Let's begin verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things. In other words, they're going to have a Facebook page. Speaking things. Okay, you can be mad about that one. Speaking things which they ought not. And I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary. Who's that, by the way? The devil. Mm-hmm. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I plead for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God as we cover this passage of Scripture tonight. I pray we would understand our responsibilities individually, as well as our responsibilities corporately to those in this great need as widows. God, have your will and way in our lives, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's review what we know so far. The human author of the book of 1 Timothy is who? Paul. Very good. Written about what year? A.D. And it's written to who? Timothy at. And written from where? Very good. The theme of the book is what? Conduct in the church. And the key words, there are two of them. The first one is what? Second one is what? Very good. Key verse is found in chapter 3 and verse what? 15. Let's turn back to it. Everyone, young and old alike, finding 1 Timothy 3:15, and we read it together. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now he's given Timothy a message of how the church is to conduct itself. And it's what he said in verse 3. And he's letting the pastor know, because it's the pastor's responsibility to lead the church to conduct itself according to the will of Jesus Christ, whose church it is. You remember in chapter 1, he gave him a charge that there were certain heresies he was not allowed to be preached. He was charged to charge others that they couldn't bring the false doctrines into the church. And then in chapter 2, he dealt with the church's prayers. He starts out letting us know that we are to pray for all men, but especially for those who are in authority over us. Now we're to pray for their souls, because it says he would have all men to be saved. That's God's desire. Well, that ought to be our prayers. Did you pray for people to be saved today? Did you pray for the president? Did you pray for the senators, the governor? Did you pray for leaders, for the mayor? Did you pray for them to be saved? That's the will of God. He wants us to pray for them. How much do you pray for those in authority over you? He wasn't kidding about it. And he also let us know that when men pray, they were to lift up holy hands without wrath and disputing, and that the women had some responsibility on them about how they conducted themselves, how they dressed, and how they acted as far as prayer was concerned. Those passages, those verses that deal with the dress and how they conduct themselves in that passage are all within the context of prayer. They're going to get their prayers answered according to the Holy Spirit of God. They have certain responsibility. And then he lets the church know that for the leaders, for the bishop, for the pastor, for the elder of the church, that he has to be qualified. And he laid out the qualifications for the pastor. And then he laid out the qualifications for those who would serve as deacons. And those qualifications even include some things about the deacon's wife. A man could be fully qualified in his own, but if his wife doesn't meet the qualifications there, then he's not qualified either. He says, so that you may know how ye ought to behave yourself in the house of God. And then he's reminded that in the latter days some would depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. And Timothy is given a charge about seeing to it that in the church he continues to maintain the right pulpit. Now we get to chapter 5, he's still writing with this theme, how we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Now, he's first of all going to deal with Timothy's personal responsibility and how he interacts with other people in the church. As he says in verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Now, he's not talking about an elder that is the elder or pastor of the church. He's talking about those who are older. Now, how do you know that? I know that because of the context. If you look at the context, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, and the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. He's talking about in relation to the age of the pastor. You remember, Timothy was a young man. He was not an old man. Now, you've got a pastor now that's an old man. And we've got a lot more younger men that I'm supposed to treat as brethren than the older men that I'm supposed to treat as fathers. Now, I think this is good. You know, I believe God knew just exactly how many young men would come out of Bible colleges, go into a church thinking that they are the foreman, the ramrod of the whole place, and they're to run everybody and drive everybody. But we have right here an admonition of how the pastor, how the elder, how the bishop is to interact with the other members of the church. For those who are elder, entreat him as a father. In other words, you talk to them with respect. And you don't just go up and blow them out of the saddle with unkind words when they happen to say something stupid or they're stubborn about something they shouldn't be stubborn about. You treat them as a father. That doesn't make any difference if the pastor's 10 years younger or 50 years younger. Doesn't make any difference. That's how he treats the older men of the church. That's how he's supposed to. And then for the younger men as brethren, not as, you know, younger know-nothings that you just boss around, but as brethren. Why? Well, first of all, we're in the same family. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blood relationship, not our blood, but his blood. And we're to treat one another, we're to treat the other younger men of the church as brethren, co-laborers. So when our dealing with one another, understand this, that from the pulpit, I do a lot of yelling. I understand that. That's how I preach. And some people like it. Some people don't like it. I can't help it. That's how I preach. Now, that's one thing. But when I am dealing with people on one-on-one, I don't stand there and yell at them. You still treat them with respect. There's some pastors that haven't learned how to deal with people yet. Right here is real good instruction at the responsibility that we have. Notice he says the elder women as mothers. Well, there are fewer and fewer women that are older than I am in the church. We still got a few. But for the elder women, treat them as mothers. Treat them with the respect as mothers. Listen, people don't always do right. You can still treat them with respect. Older people don't always do right. Younger people don't always do right. For the younger men, treat them as brethren. And notice what he says next. And the younger as sisters. The elder women as mothers and the younger as sisters. Now underline those last three words. With all purity. Everything always above board. Everything always right. Now, we were brought up in a lost home. I had an older half-brother, then there was me, and then there was my sister, Linda. Now, we were about 3 years apart, 4 years apart, and you've met Linda. She came to our 50th wedding anniversary and so on, and we had an interesting childhood growing up. We fought a little bit. Anybody here have siblings that you fought with? Oh, okay. We fought a little bit growing up. But nobody could pick on my sister. She is my sister. I can pick on her, but nobody else could pick on her. She was my sister. Now, for those of you who come with several kids in the family, you'd understand that. I looked out for her, and I made sure, took care of her. I wouldn't let my sister get hurt in my presence. That's a responsibility that I had. But now, all right, I'm dealing with then younger women who are really not my sisters, but they are my sisters. But I'm to make sure to do it. He adds these three words. This is very important. With all purity. Everything should be right. It's one of the reasons I don't go around hugging other women. I don't do it. I'm not going to do it with all purity. I know that's pure. Amen. I can do all the hugging in the world once I get to heaven. It'll be pure then. There's not going to be any lust of the flesh going on, nothing like that. It'll be pure, and it'll be pure in the eyes that see you hug. But here, you got to be careful about that, all right? So this is how we treat the elders, the younger, the older women, and the younger women. And then he moves into widows. You'll notice beginning in verse 3, he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now, right away, when you read that verse, you're thinking, well, a widow is a widow. Isn't every lady that has her husband die, isn't she a widow? He's not talking about fake widows here. He's not saying there are some widows that aren't really widows. No, he's not saying that at all. But are widows indeed? In other words, they're going to be widows that meet the qualifications that the church has a responsibility to do. Remember, he's writing this to Timothy. And this is Timothy to making sure his responsibility is to make sure that God's will is carried out in this manner. Now, let's just settle on that word honor for a moment. What does that mean to honor the widows that are widows indeed? We get a good example of what the word honor means in the biblical sense by going back to the book of Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, you find that the Jewish leaders were finding fault with Jesus because he didn't lead his disciples to always obey the rabbis. Now, don't misunderstand. He always obeyed the word of God. And he led his disciples to always obey the word of God. But they didn't always obey the words of the rabbis. And they were upset about that. The rabbis had their traditions that they had made, not just equally important to the word of God, but if there was a conflict between the tradition of the rabbis and the commandments of God, well, they just followed the traditions of the rabbis. And so notice what he says. Let's begin at verse 6 in the story. He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now he gives an example. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. And then he says, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Now, what he's saying is here, you've got the command to honor your mother and father. And it's obvious from the context of the passage that that honoring goes beyond leaving home. As a matter of fact, if it gets to the place where your mom and dad are in need, you have a responsibility to take care of them. And so he says, but you've got, here's what the tradition of the rabbi was. If you said that if you dedicated all of your goods to God, that's Corban, it's a gift. You dedicate all your goods to God, the rabbi said, therefore, you can't spend it on your mom and dad because it belongs to God. But surely God would expect you to spend on you the things that you need, but you can't splurge and send to give it to your mom and dad as well because it belongs to God. You gave it to God. He says, therefore, you've taken the commandment of God to honor your mother and father, and you have made that of none effect by your tradition. And because of that, in vain do you worship him. Now, think about that for a moment. He's letting us know that the honor goes far beyond just yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Honoring your mom and dad, go beyond that. You have a responsibility when they get older and infirmed and have a need, I mean a real genuine need, where they can't take care of themselves, you have a responsibility to see to it that they're taken care of. That's honoring mom and dad, all right? Now, that's how Jesus used the term in Mark chapter 7. Also, in Matthew's account, the same thing, Matthew chapter 15. So here he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. That doesn't mean we give them a special seat with their name on it in the church. It means widows that are widows indeed. And you're going to see who he's talking about in a minute. The church has a responsibility to take care of them. That's the church has a responsibility to take care of them. All right, you got that. This goes all the way back, by the way, as far as the church of Jesus Christ is concerned. You go back to the book of Acts in chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, the church, even though it's just a few months old in Acts chapter 6, it is already taking care of both the Grecian widows and the Hebrew widows. And you remember in chapter 6, there was a problem that was brewing in the church because there were some people that were feeling like the Grecian widows weren't getting the same thing that the Hebrew widows were getting. And so while that complaint went on, the disciples, the apostles got together and they had a meeting. What are we going to do about this? Because we've got to spend our time in the ministry of the word and prayer. So they decided to choose some men who had to be full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom and of a good report. And they chose those men to take care of a need in the church so that the leaders of the church could give themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. Now, they took care of it. Bible doesn't tell us how they took care of it. What year was that? Well, somewhere around 30 AD. It might have been 33 AD, 32 AD, 31 AD. We don't know the date. But we know it was early in the church when they started taking care of the widows. Now, when is 1 Timothy chapter, when is 1 Timothy written? What year? AD 64. So we're talking about over 30 years have passed. Now, we don't know how they figured out which widows to help in Jerusalem with that first church in 30 AD. There was no scriptural example to give as to which widows were to be helped. But 30 years later now, evidently with churches all over the place, there were a number of problems that had arisen. And so God is speaking to Paul to put down to Timothy how the widows were to be handled in the local assembly, what they were to do. Now you say, boy, that's a shame, isn't it, that they had to go from just taking care of it to having all these rules about who could have it, who couldn't have it, what they were to do, what they had to do to keep getting it, and so on. Isn't that a shame? Well, it reminds me of our Christian school. If we were to go back to 1990, we had a Christian school here. We still have a Christian school today. Our Christian school had about 4 pages for a rule book, a handbook. Today, it has, 24, 30 pages in our handbook. And most of the additions that are in there, many of the additions that are in there, we could write somebody's name beside the reason that we had to add that rule. Now, I don't know which women, evidently, according to the way it's written here, that there were a number of widows that had caused problems. And it had created problems in the church. And so God now is saying, here it is. And by the way, he's never changed it. This is still good. It is still right. Now, here's where I don't want any of the ladies especially to get upset with me. Just remember, I did not write it. I want you to notice verse 4 again. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. In other words, if a widow has children or nephews, they have the responsibility of taking care of the widow. You go down to verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So just because a Christian woman in the church is a widow doesn't mean that she's eligible to be taken care of like this. You getting that? If she's got family, if she's got children, well, I don't want my children to look after me. Well, it's their responsibility. Even the nephews. Now, I didn't write it. Everybody's remembering that now. Who wrote it? God wrote it. This is God's book. This is God's instruction. This is for his church. By the way, note verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially not for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. What's he talking about? He's talking about widows. He's talking about widows. He's not talking about the man providing for his family. That's not in the context. The context is he's talking about taking care of widows. And you take a son who won't take care of his widowed mom. Listen, he's worse than an infidel. That's what it says. I mean, even infidels will take care of their mother. How much more should a Christian? Now, some of you are looking very stern at me. Just remember, I didn't write it, man. Here's the guideline for helping widows. First of all, some are to be refused. I already mentioned they must be widows indeed. But notice in verse 6, he says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." I mean, you know, there are some widows, they don't really have any needs. This isn't a free lunch program. This is for somebody who has a real need. But you take the gal, go getting her hair done every week and going to Walmart every day and able to run around, be able to buy her own gas, got money in the bank, and she can do all she wants. The son doesn't have the responsibility of taking care of her then. He's going to give us the instruction of the kind of widow that's to be taken care of in just a little bit. But for those who got flying around, I'm sorry, they're not to be taken care of. And especially the church has no reason to take care of them. Not only that, you go down to verse, you got the younger widows, verse 9. He says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. In other words, you don't qualify till you're at least 60. "But I'm a 58-year-old widow." Bless your heart, 2 more years, you may qualify. Now, that doesn't mean that a son can't take care of his widowed mother at 58, but it doesn't even enter into the church taking care of anything till they get to be at least 60. Oh, I'm sorry. Notice verse 11. "Let not a widow be taken in." Now, I read that one. Oh, what's the rest of that? "Having been the wife of..." Did you get that? Why does he limit it to one man? What if she's just been lucky and she's had 3 husbands and they all died on her? Now wait just a minute. I can hear some Christians say, "Well, that's not fair." Whose word is it? It's God's word. So, one. She could only have had one. In other words, the woman at the well would not have qualified when her next husband died. No matter how old she got. Now, if she had any kids, they still had a responsibility to take care of her, but that's another matter, okay? So, notice, and verse 11. "But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation or judgment, because they have cast off their first faith." I mean, as a widow, he wants the widows that are totally sold out to God. Those are the ones that get the help. And we're going to read that in just a moment. But notice about these younger women. If the church takes care of them to where they have no need, not that they're living extravagant or anything like that with the church taking care of them extravagantly, but notice what they will do according to the scripture. He says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things that they ought not." Who wrote it again? Well, God wrote that. See, the danger is they get taken care of. He expects people to work. He expects people to be busy. And she's a widow now, even though she's young, that means under 60. She's young enough to be able to, and still can take care of herself and do things. You start taking care of her, where all she's got to do is go from house to house. And this was written before the internet and telephones. I mean, can you imagine what it'd be like today for the kind of woman that he's talking about right here? She's a friend on everybody's Facebook page and up with everybody's news. But of course, they didn't have Facebook back then. Of course, there's some who aren't even widows and they're up on everybody's Facebook page and they've got the news on everybody's family and they know every little thing that's going on in everybody's family. Good night. If we only knew our Bible that well. That's part of our problem. We have allowed technology to take us away from God. Anyway, that was extra right there. Now, so they're to refuse that. In verse 13, you read what they become. He says, I will therefore, in verse 14, that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In other words, stay godly. Now, what are the guidelines for helps? Back to verse 5. It says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth, now notice that, and desolate, trusteth in God. She's a widow indeed and what? Desolate. She doesn't have a bank account. She's desolate. She doesn't have anything. She's not well off. But she trusteth in God. Notice what else about this woman. She continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. She is a prayer warrior. She is not a 15-minute-a-day prayer warrior. For as he says here, she continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. She is known for her prayer life. Now, how many people do you know, men or women, how many people do you know that are known for their prayer life? I mean, really, you may know a lot of good people that are nice Christian people and good church members and they serve in the church. But how many people do you know that are known for their prayer life? Well, this widow that is desolate that trusteth in God, here's what she's able to do, not run around being tattlers and so on, getting into everybody's business. She spends her time doing business with God. And that's what she's known for. And then go on down to verse, let's see. She shows evident trust in God. She has a prayer testimony. Over 60. Well reported of for good works in verse 10. Well reported of for good works. This gal is about goodness, man. That's what she does. Notice if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. It's not a good work once in a while. She has diligently followed every good work. Now, what Paul is doing is let Timothy know, church, you're not responsible for all the widows. Let me tell you the kind of widows that you are responsible for. They don't have family to take care of them. They are widows indeed. They are desolate. And they're godly. They're prayer warriors. They maintain a right testimony. And they still live for others. That's the kind of widow that the church is required to take care of. That sounds right. They said, well, what if we don't like that? Tough. I mean, just tough. This is God's word on his church, what we are to do. Now, what about the younger widows? Verse 14, I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In other words, get married again, be a godly person. Now that is the Holy Spirit's instruction to the church. Look at verse 15. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Now, it's been 34 years, and there's no doubt it's been witnessed in the church, in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, that that had been a problem that a number of people had. I remember we had a family come to our church many years ago. This was in Manchester. Now, her husband didn't die. They ended up getting divorced, but they had found each other in a bar. That was before they got saved. He had beat her many times before they got saved. Well, he ended up backsliding, get away from God, and he divorced his wife. And we always thought, if it wasn't for her husband, she'd been a godly lady in the church. But then when her husband divorced her, she went back to the bar and found another one in the same place. You thought, surely she should have known better about that. She didn't. And of course, that was the last that we saw of her after that. So here we are, 34 years after the church started helping widows. number of problems over the years. This is the speaking from God's experience. And these are the requirements that he puts on us. So the warning to the responsible, that's us, three things and we'll be done. Notice number 7, verse 7. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. You know, we read that word blameless. That ought to be another key word of the book of 1 Timothy. We've seen it with regards to qualifications for different things. Blameless. But we all ought to be concerned about having a testimony that's blameless. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians that we're to avoid every appearance of evil. We're to see to it that our lives are to be blameless. And then verse 8, he says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So he's not just dealing with the church here. He's dealing with the fact that the children, or even the nephews of these older ones, are to be taken care of, and it's their responsibility to take care of those widows. Or they're worse than an infidel. God expects more out of his children than he does out of the devil's children. But there are too many times he doesn't even get as much out of his children as the devil gets out of his. That's worse than an infidel. Now you say, but I've been setting aside a nest egg so we can do certain things later in life. Well, you got to understand, friend, life's not about you. Life is about God and pleasing him. We were created to please him. Finally, in verse 16, he lets us know, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. The church has a definite responsibility for those who are widows indeed, to see to it they have the food and clothing that they need and the shelter that they need. They don't have to have a lavish lifestyle, because after all, they're praying night and day. It's not about keeping up with the fashions. They're godly. The widows he's talking about helping, widows indeed, that now they are, well, kind of like Anna in Luke chapter 1 that was at the temple praying. Or Luke chapter 2, I'm sorry, that was at the temple when Mary brought Jesus in. Okay. Sounds to me like the church, for the most part, around the world, has totally taken those 14 verses and cut them out of their Bibles. Now, when you get to looking at the qualifications, you may have a number of widows in the church, but not have one that really meets that. But when you do, you have a responsibility to take care of them. Because it's not all widows that get helped by the church. And if you have a widow, widowed mother, widowed aunt, you've got a responsibility. And to not be worse than an infidel, you need to meet it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I can tell people are thinking, this is not something that's covered very often, and forgive me for not covering it more often. Lord, I pray that you would take these words and may we apply them to our hearts and our lives, that we be individually and also corporately as a church what we ought to be to those who are widows indeed. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.